Amen. Thank you so much. The candles have been lit. They're illumined. And now we're going to pray for God to illumine our hearts as we hear the scripture read. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for our church family here at Grace Church. We thank you, Father, that you have made us family in your family as our Father, with Jesus, our brother, the Holy Spirit as our encourager. We thank you, Father, that you are present with us here today, and you are present with us always. In these troubled times, we look for your light, and we see it illumined in your word. We pray that you would illumine your word that is read to us now, that we would pay attention with our ears, our eyes, our hearts, our souls, our very being, so that, Lord, we would hear your voice speaking to us, and that it would give us the things that you seek to give us, hope and peace, love and joy. We thank you for this reading that is about to be read. May it bless your name. May it give glory to your name forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. The scripture reading is from Luke 1, 68 to 79. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is the word of the Lord, and we all say, thanks be to God.
Maybe by the time I open the Bible to the scripture, the leaf blowing will stop and we'll be able to have peace. It's okay. It's a wonderful scripture that we have today on the second advent for peace. And we're so glad that all of you are here today to worship our Lord Jesus. Remember that last week we were introduced to the main theme of the Bible, the kingdom of God, and we are his servants, we are his subjects. We come here to worship God as people of the kingdom, right? And so exciting to have another lesson today in this Advent season that is going to draw us into a deeper meaning of being in the kingdom of God and being one with God in this way. I just want to read something that I have in my email. It's a newspaper clipping that comes every day with news. The opening of the news is this: Omicron has plunged the world into collective uncertainty. It's this Omicron virus, the new strain, has plunged the world into collective uncertainty. And this is, I don't know about you, but when I read something like that, it can be very daunting. It can be very shocking. I think it's meant to do that, but it's also very telling of the times that we live in. This is the emphasis of the world around us. And so we take heart coming to this place today to gather as the kingdom people of God, to know that while the world is in uncertainty and plunged into uncertainty because of this virus, that we have a very certain hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, who overcame sin and death and every source of all disease, that one day when Jesus Christ returns, those who believe in him will live without any fear of any kind of virus or any disease. No more war. There's no sin. Satan will be defeated once and for all. And that is our hope. And that is what God, the Bible teaches us. And that is very reassuring for us. And we also need to learn in our faith walk that we are the possessors of good news in a world that is filled with bad news. The majority of the news that we hear today is very, very purposefully to make people uncertain. Those are the things that people in this world choose to share with other people. And you have to search long and hard to find good news in the midst of those things, right? But we of the people of God, the kingdom people, have good news every moment of our lives. There isn't anything that can change it. We may feel that there is this pressure and there may be an anxiety, but we know for certain that our future is secure in Jesus, who has resurrected from the dead and is coming again. And so on this Advent Sunday, we're going to be looking at this powerful scripture in Luke with the framework in mind that the Advent season for us is an expectation of Christmas coming, so that we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, who came into the world from heaven, right? Was born to Mary, and that he grew to be a man, died on the cross, right? Preaching the kingdom, died on the cross, was resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is coming again. And so the Advent season is also an anticipation of that moment, that the Lord is going to return, right? And that's what we were singing Maranatha, which means the Lord is coming, right? And so that is the framework, again, the mindset of people of the kingdom. And so as hard as it is to carry that over into our lives when we leave this room or your homes and going into the world, we need to meditate on those words that Christ is going to return. The Lord is coming again, just as he promised. Okay? And so today's candle is being lit in peace, and the scripture that we have mentions it at the very end. But there's a wealth of different things that we want to cover here before we get to this point. And so I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at the story of Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist, and he was the one with the prophet who was speaking of the coming of Jesus Christ. It says in chapter 1, before the scripture that we had today, we are told about what happened to Zechariah. He was a priest, right? You can imagine he's going on a very special day. It was a great honor for him to be chosen to have a turn to go in and to burn incense in the temple. Okay, so Zechariah was a man who was given a privilege to do that. Not all of the priests in their lifetime were given that honor of burning incense. It was only one time that a priest was to have that privilege. And so it was a big day for him to go into and to burn the incense, right? And he could not have imagined what was going to happen on that day when he went in. That was a big moment for him to be chosen by lot to go in and to burn incense in the temple, right? And what happens then? He is in the temple and an angel appears to him. An angel appears to him while he is there, right? And he tells him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard." This is from verses 5 through 17 or so, we see the story that is prefacing this whole occurrence and leading up to the scripture that we have today with John the Baptist being promised. And he says to him, "Don't be afraid, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. It goes on to explain that he will refrain from drinking wine. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. There is no other occurrence where a person, while they're in the womb of their mother, is filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Okay, so he's going to be coming. And so this announcement comes to him, and he says that his prayer has been heard. And it's assumed that he was talking about the prayer for a son or a child, but it wasn't that. It was actually he was praying for the coming of the Messiah. See, a priest would not be praying for his personal needs in that moment before God in the temple. He was representing the people, and so he was praying for the Messiah to come. Maranatha, right? That's what he's talking about. He was praying for that. His prayer was heard, and also his wife was going to give, Elizabeth was going to give birth, and she was barren, right? She was advanced in age. The hope of having a child was not, to them, it was not possible any longer, but he said that your wife will bear a child, a son, and you will call his name John. And that is also very unusual. But first of all, John means the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. So grace came into the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. He was gracious, but also he is gracious in being the Messiah. And he's filled with grace and hope for the people there. So you see, there is this kind of a message here that we see. When we compare it to the times that we're going through now, it was one of uncertainty, and he and his wife also were in this kind of a dark place in their lives, feeling that they were not heard by God, and yet God came, and he spoke through this angel to Zechariah. Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you would be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." At this point, we are introduced to something that is very crucial in our lives here and today, as well in the time of Zechariah, and that is the unbelief that exists. Now you have to imagine, this is a man who is conversing with an angel, and he is asking them a question, how could this possibly be? And I really truly believe that this idea here, it says here that I speak to you and bring you this good news, and you will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words. And so here within this scene with Zechariah and the angel, we are given a big lesson that is going to continue on through the book of Luke of having belief in what God says. And so the people of God, the children of God, the people of the kingdom need to ask themselves this question. Do we believe what God says to us? We see the frailty of humankind. An angel comes, right? Comes into the place where he is serving, says that I am in the presence of God. And yet this man who is a priest and who studied the scriptures and knew the scriptures still doubted the word that God had come to him and given him this good news. And so we need to also be pondering this. Just like Mary pondered the things that happened to her, we need to ponder these things. Where do you stand in your belief? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he came to save you from your sins? Do you believe that he's coming again? Do you believe that your life is secure in his hands? Do you believe that the plans that you have for your life are secure in his hands? Do you believe? Do you believe enough to share the gospel with other people? It also helps us to be able to understand when people don't believe and to see the lot of people in this world, that God has given them the sun and the moon and the stars and the beauty of the nature and the things around us to show us his existence and that he has created us and given us life, the power of a baby, the power of your life coming into being. You know, in Psalm 139, we were reading this recently in the news, the prayer newsletter, right? That you were formed in the depths of the earth. And this kind of a message from God's word needs to seep into our souls to change us from within, to see that there's something greater than merely going to a restaurant and having a meal. It's greater than buying a fancy car or having a home so that you can live in it. It's greater than just merely having a job where you can put the education that you have into use and earn money. It is the deeper thing of life that God has given to us in his word, and that is what we want in life. That is what we seek in these moments when the news comes and says, here's some bad news, so we can shock you and we can put doubt in your mind and we can cause you to fear. But the Christian, the child of God, says, I will not be afraid, because God has told me here, do not be afraid. I may feel that there is something going on that I need to be aware of and I need to act upon that, but I will not fear. Nothing can threaten the child of God. The Lord is our shepherd, and he protects us from evil. He protects us even from death. So the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out, and when he came out, he was unable to speak, and they knew something happened in this place, and he comes out to them. He was making signs and remained mute, and when his time of service was ended, he went to his home, and then after these days, it goes on to say, Luke says, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. And that is what God does. He takes away our shame. He takes away reproach. Right? It may not be in the same way that he shows it to Elizabeth, but God comes to remove reproach from us. And I believe that there is a great need for that word today in this world. We hear of people that are totally despairing. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's in elementary school or in middle school or high school or college, different areas of life and different ages, people despair and they don't have a reason to live any longer. And they need to hear that there is a God who loves them, gave his son for them, and he is to remove any shame, to remove reproach, and to give them life. These are the underlying messages that are coming here, that God takes away reproach. He sends his son. That is what is going to happen through the Messiah. If you feel despair today, take hope in Christ. Believe in his name, and you will feel the power of the Holy Spirit filling you. And God will reassure you that there is a purpose to your life. And we go on, and just before we hear the song that we heard read today, there's the birth of John the Baptist in chapter 1 from verses 57. And now came the time for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy on her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. And you remember that the angel said his name would be John. Right. And so Elizabeth is saying that, and that was very strange because none of the relatives are called by this name. And it was usual and custom for the first son to be named after the father, Zechariah. And so that was what's to be expected. But he said no. The mother said, no, he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, Zechariah, inquiring of him, is this true? Is this what his name is supposed to be? And he took a writing tablet and wrote down, his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all of their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. This is the moment that that is coming to this song that Zechariah prophesied and that we have for our scripture today. And it's very, 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 very encouraging to us and uplifting. And it's filled with the peace of God. And we'll take a look at this now. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're used to hearing about the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost after Jesus went up into heaven. But here we see that it is not only there, that the Holy Spirit was filling people with power, and it filled Zechariah with power when he proclaimed and obeyed the message that his son should be called John. And we see the power of obedience. To believe is obedience. To do what God tells you to do is obedience. It goes against all of the rules. He should have been called his father's name, but his name was to be John. The Lord is gracious. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And so the father prophesies to people about the son who would be the prophet. And this prophet, John the Baptist, that we know is John the Baptist, was the first prophet after centuries of not having a prophet. So the people were used to not having anyone tell them things. It was silent. But they did have prophecies from the scriptures. And now comes a prophet to come and to speak to them. It's a huge moment in the history of mankind. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and the hand of all who hate us. That's the way it begins, this prophecy, right? So the first part of this psalm, we would expect that he would say, praise the Lord for my son that is coming. But no, he praises God for the fulfillment of scripture that Messiah would come. And so Messiah is the one that he praises and blesses the Lord God of Israel for. He has visited and redeemed his people. To visit them is a grace-filled situation and occurrence. If you have a visit from someone, right, and they come into your home to bless you in some kind of a way, that is the sense of this word now. God has visited his people filled with grace, right? And also redeemed his people, saved them. And so we look at these words with great importance. He visits us in our lives and he redeems us. He saves us. He raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. A horn of salvation means a salvation that is filled with power. The horn is a symbol of power, like an ox or a bull that has a horn. And it's related to that kind of a sense, right? There's a very powerful animal, but it's the horn that is used here to describe salvation for us in the house of the servant David. And so it was from the line of David, King David, right? For the kingdom of God, the kingdom people are receiving this message through the voice and the song of Zechariah in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. It is a fulfillment of prophecy, the things that are written in the Old Testament. The book of Malachi is one of the great associations with this song, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. And so the people of Israel are given instant hope here in their lives, in a society where they were oppressed and they were feeling under reproach like Elizabeth for different reasons. And then comes this word from God, this good news to them, that a Messiah is coming. And it's fulfilled in this moment. A tremendous thought. But it's also something we have to keep in mind. When you think, I can't associate, I can't relate to the idea that Christ is coming again, then begin here and see the proof that God promised it and it came true. And based upon that fact, we have certainty that it will happen again for us. That Jesus will indeed come again. To show mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. This is the center of the song that Zechariah was singing in praise to God. And it's the center of it for a reason. Listen to the things that it mentions. First of all, to show mercy. Right? Mercy is the way that this begins. To show mercy promised to our fathers, that the fathers being promised the coming of the Messiah would not be forgotten. The mercy promised, to show mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. And the covenant is another huge theme in the Bible that some people feel is even more important than the kingdom kind of a theme. But they're both, they work together as one. A covenant is very worth our time in Sunday school to learn and in your private life. We have books on it in my office. We have the Bible that is filled with it, but you know about it, but it's something that we need to really digest. To remember his holy covenant that God had promised would bring about, and the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. It was a oath, it was a promise, it was a covenant that was made to Abraham. And that is why it's in the center of this song. Because the things before it and the things that come after it are all based upon God's promise to redeem people from sin. That is the crux of this entire song that is being given here. And it all connects them to family, to the family of God, to the kingdom of God, through Abraham, the one that was chosen and that was given this great covenant by God and promising that he would be the father of many nations. And so this is a huge moment coming from this priest, Zechariah, who is speaking of these things, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. So the emphasis is not so much that they would be freed from their enemies so that they could be a kingdom unto themselves and that they would be able to rule the world or not be oppressed so much. It's really so that they would be able to serve God without any fear. It all came about so that they would be able to serve God without fear in their hearts. And that is another message that we receive in the midst of a world that is in uncertainty. We serve without fear. We serve without fear. Can you say that? We serve without fear. Fear has no power over us. God has given us a spirit of what? Of love. Hope. What else? Say it louder, please. Sorry, I can't hear you. Sound mind. Faith. Power. What'd you say, Kit? Joy. Amen? These are the things that we claim. It is not just a power of the mind over these things so we don't have to think about it. It is real, found in a real God. And in the Holy Spirit that fills Zechariah so that this priest who went into the temple thinking that he was going to have this privilege and light and incense was visited by God in that situation. His life was changed forever. His wife was blessed and all of creation was blessed by God. The promise of the Messiah had come to them and it had come in power. Do you believe that God could send an angel into your life? Has God sent an angel into your life to speak to you? Do you believe, really, do you believe that that could happen? I believe it. I just read it happen. In your darkest moments, remember the what has happened in the Bible is not merely to read it as a historical event. It is to relate to your own life and you can ask God for it. I can tell you a story of a friend, Dixon, who we all know from the retreat that we joined in with Brooklyn Church a few years ago. And he told us about his mother who said, I would like to have a vision to know that God exists. And so Dixon said, okay, I'll pray for it, Mom. And he got on his knees and he prayed for it. And she received a vision and is now a follower of Jesus Christ. Because Dixon believes. He doesn't just say, oh, I wish that I could do something about it, Mom. But that doesn't exist today. That was a thing of the Old Testament. You see, he knows that it's not just in our Bibles as a historical event. It's a real and living example of someone who said, I would like to have something like that. What does God say? He who asks will receive. If you need to know Jesus as your Savior, then ask him to show himself, to reveal himself. Don't wait for someone else to tell you. Go to the source. Go to Jesus. And he will reveal. I can talk to you about other people as well who I know personally who have told me the same thing. I can tell you about myself. In the moment in my room growing up in Glen Ridge, New Jersey, in the darkest night, thinking what is going on with all of the things going on around me in my family's life, and Jesus Christ came into my heart and made himself, he visited me in my room, and my life has never been the same. We're not just talking about things that happened to some people like a fairy tale. We're talking about reality, and we're talking about reality for today in your own life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Is there something in you that is holding you back from taking that step? Give it to Jesus. Let today be the day that you don't live in uncertainty anymore. There are people who are praying for your salvation. But God wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear your voice. He goes that they would serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. The word holiness and the word righteousness came up during our prayer time yesterday to seek God's will for our church theme. And there were people there who were filled with the Holy Spirit who were offering up verses that coordinate together in what God was saying. We didn't talk before we met together, but we met together and people came in and offered up verses that were all going in the direction of repentance and seeking God and having his righteousness in our lives. It's an exciting year before us. In holiness and righteousness before him all of our days, we are serving him as a church of God. We don't serve each other. We serve Christ first, and then we serve one another. In holiness means that we belong to God. We can only be in holiness. We can't be holy without God. We belong to God. And in righteousness, it means the people of God do the things that are pleasing to God. And you, child, goes on, you, child, now it shifts to this emphasis on John, but it doesn't lose the emphasis of God, as we'll see. You, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. And this is very important because it says that you, child, will be the prophet. You are the servant. You are the messenger of God of the Most High. John the Baptist was great. Jesus is the Most High. And that is the way it needs to be in our lives. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. Now, this is a very important and a very rich scripture for us because we want to be thinking about what it means to prepare the way of the Lord. And in order to understand what we're going to do today, we need to understand what it meant then, right? Isaiah 40 says, someone is calling out in the desert, clear a road for Yahweh, make straight through the open plains a highway for our God, right? And so there's this sense of trying to prepare the way, to make straight the way for him. But looking at this more closely, we need to be able to go a little bit further in the scripture. It says to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. And this is connected also to what we were learning yesterday in gathering to choose and to seek God's theme for our church. It says to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. The means of preparing the way, right, that John was going to prepare the way is to call out knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. How do we prepare the way for people today? We'll come to that in just a bit, but it is to get into what John was told that he was to do here. When John came, Luke chapter 3, it says that John went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It's very important because we were talking about this yesterday. Repent. He was proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He spoke not only of repentance, but of bearing fruit in keeping with repentance, not relying on the heritage that the people of Israel had as descendants of Abraham. The wrath of God would fall upon such people. When people asked what they should do, he called them to live lives that exhibited true repentance, like collecting only what they should collect and not more. There was deception and there was thievery going on in business. Not extorting money from anyone by threats, but being content with their wages. In short, they should live righteously. He pointed to Christ saying, I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me, I am not worthy to tie the sandals of. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He would gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he would burn with unquenchable fire. So we see the power of this salvation of God and coming into a world that is not of the kingdom and separating that which is worldly and that which is of the kingdom of God. So John spoke of repentance, right? And he gave a baptism of repentance in preparing the way of the Lord to help people to be able to understand that someone is coming that you cannot possibly meet in a sinful state, right? And he warned the people, you think that you can just get away by being the people of God because Abraham is your father and you come from that line. But I'm telling you that it's not based on that. It's based on the way that you live your life as a person who's in the kingdom of God. So change your ways. Begin. They asked him, what should we do? Stop being unfair. Stop being unloving. Stop cheating people. Stop sinning, right? Stop sinning in your life. Stop doing those things that are getting in your way. I remember one time I was going through my life and I was thinking about all different kind of things and it was very hard for me to make any kind of decisions. I was very indecisive. I was going through all these different things in my business, in the work that I was doing, in my church life, all the different kinds of my life. And I was thinking, you know, what is going to happen and what is going to happen here? And I still struggle with that sometimes, but God gave me a very clear word in that. He said, have courage. Be brave. Stop fearing. Stop being double-minded. Be single-minded. Choose me. Follow me. Do the things that I tell you to do. You know what they are. And I did know what they are. But I was indecisive because I wanted to go in the other directions. I wanted to disobey. I wanted the things of this world. And God said to me, take courage. Be bold. Don't go for those other things anymore. You know what is right, so do it. And I believe that there is a need for us to tell people that sometimes. They come to us and they say, I don't know what to do. Follow Jesus. Yeah, but I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't feel like anybody cares about me. Jesus loves you. I know, but I don't feel like anybody, you know what I'm saying? They're going off into their own directions. They're not being decisive. They're not believing. They're not being obedient. And God is calling us to repent. Repent of the things that are holding us back so that we can experience the fruit of true life. And that's what John the Baptist came with a message for. Right? To shock the people out of their, existence in their own lives and depending upon themselves and to say, you need your Savior. You need to repent. He's coming. He's coming now. And that is where we are when we think about the second coming of Christ. How will he find us? Will he find faith when he finds us here? Right? I just want to emphasize that again. Don't be indecisive when you know what needs to be done. If a person is squandering, don't let them just squander by themselves and let them do it and say one day they'll find out by themselves. You are being disobedient to the call of God. Because we are here to serve one another. We are here to serve. We are here to direct with the messages that God has given to us. And we don't want to live lives that are more feeling like I'm afraid of what they're going to say when I talk to them. We're not talking about being unloving, but we're talking about being decisive and being obedient to the will of God. And so one has to have that kind of a sense also as Christians today. Do we just live our lives saying we're Christians based on the fact that we attend a church and we have church traditions and we read the Bible and we also know that we are saved because we were baptized? Or are we going to live lives that are consistent with a kingdom child? That is what God expects for us to do in these times. And I'm telling you that it's right here in the message in the New York Times that people are falling into despair. And so it's time for the people of God to get over it and to take out their Bibles and say, this is where the answers are found. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. God has great patience. God has great patience with us, you know, and he helps us along the way. So I want to encourage you to seek him. See where you are in your life and see where you stand in these things in this kind of a way. In Isaiah 40, the passage which tells of the one who would prepare the way of the Lord, it goes on to say, what shall I call out? What shall I say? The answer that is flesh like grass. The answer is that flesh is like grass that will wither and a flower that will fade, but the word of the Lord rises to up forever. The word of the Lord rises up forever. Flesh is like grass, will wither, and a flower that will fade, but the word of the Lord rises up together. And that is very, very good scripture to keep in our hearts in these days. No one is going to live forever, but those who are in the kingdom of God will. That is all part of the scripture that was prophesied leading up to the coming of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord lives forever, and it was fulfilled in these people's lives like this. The last verses are, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So all of this song that was sung by Zechariah, praising God, right? He was visited by God. The fulfillment came through Elizabeth bearing a son whose name was John. And he was going to come to prepare the way of the Lord, to come with a voice that was calling out and saying, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That is the way that you want to meet the Messiah. And that is the message that we need today. But listen to this. Because of the tender mercy of our God, it is the tender mercy of our God that was coming into the world whereby the sunrise, Jesus Christ, shall visit us from on high. There was an even greater visitation, and that was of the sunrise. Think of that. Every time that you see a sunrise, it is to show us that Jesus Christ is our sun and light, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And so the message for today and the people that are hearing about the news today is that we need to be guided by the feet of Jesus into the way of peace. few points just in reflecting on these verses here. We point to the Most High, preparing for the way of the Lord in his second return, or his first return. To point to the Most High, Jesus came to save the world from its sin, and in fulfillment of God's covenant and oath, we are part of the kingdom of God, one that is built on the faithfulness of our King and the fulfillment of his promises. It is built on the covenant and the oath of God that he will do something, and therefore we have faith that he will do it again. You want to have security? What happens when you die? Where do I go? It's found in God. To repent and proclaim the words of repentance. We repent ourselves. We were talking about this also yesterday. Repentance is not found one time in our lives when we say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. It is a daily discipline for the people of God to repent before God and to admit their sin and their dependence on him. Think about how many times we walk through life holding things in our mind that are going around and spinning around and staying there. And we're thinking, oh, I don't like this person. I don't like what they said to me. I don't like what happened here. I don't like this. And have we carried around and it needs an outlet. And the way that there is an outlet is to repent to God and say, forgive me for my sin. Not to say, Lord, they hurt me. Get them. But to say, Lord, I repent of my sin. And if we do that as a church, then we will be healed. But not just once, every day. Because we are weak, and these thoughts come into our minds, and they get in our way of living like children of God. Repent, and also proclaim the words of repentance. I believe that there's a need for Christians to be like John the Baptist, and share what we also do in our lives. I need to repent of my sin. And God calls all people to repentance. Whether they do or not is between them and God. But we are to remind people of what God's word said. Jesus said that. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And so we're going to be looking at this word coming up in the new year. But it can start today. It shows God that we are earnest and sincere. We have to be sincere in the way that we act in our repentance. Just like John the Baptist was telling the people when they asked him, what should we do? Okay, so if you're taking money illegally from somebody, then stop doing it. Pretty easy, isn't it? Just stop doing it. What do you have to gain from it? You're not gaining anything. You think you may be putting one over on God, but you're not. And you're not helping yourself. And you're also contributing to the downfall of the human race. You're bringing unrighteousness into your life. You're bringing unrighteousness into the world. But you belong to Christ, who is righteous. And so your life, in my life, we need to live in that kind of a frame of mind. Stop doing the things that you are doing that are wrong. And begin to do what is pleasing to God. Share the good news of the gospel and remember that belief is so important. It is one thing to pray for something, but it's so important to believe it when God gives us an answer. To believe the word of God in our lives is so important to preparing the way of the Lord. Belief. I had a young person one time in our church say to me, you have it easier than I. You grew up in a church, in a family where you were in a Christian family going to church all your life. So you have it easier than I. So it's harder for me to believe. And I just shook my head and I said, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. My upbringing was an advantage in some respects, but the belief comes between me and God. And there's no difference there. That was an excuse. That was a person saying, yeah, but I don't really want to believe. So I'd rather point to you and say you have it easier than me so that I don't have to believe. It doesn't work that way. They need to be able to be pointed in the direction of God and say, stand before him, repent before him, ask him to forgive you, to come into your life, and you'll see that you can believe. to remember that we who are children of the King are to serve in holiness and righteousness. We are to live and serve in holiness and righteousness, belonging to God, doing what is pleasing to God. And we rejoice in our lives that we have such a sunrise, Jesus Christ, who shall visit us from on high to give light to us who are in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the ways of peace. And that is the way we end today, in praising God for his peace that he brings into our lives, that Jesus brings into our lives at this time of Advent, right? Just to end, an ending thought. At the end of Isaiah 40, the words of the Lord are so touching. You can read Isaiah 40 today before you forget. It would really help you. It says, the voices of those who belong to God in holiness and righteousness are to shout, behold your God, a strong one, the sovereign Yahweh will come, his arm ruling for him. Behold, the wage that he has earned is with him, and his work is in front of him, like a shepherd who shepherds his flock. In his arm he gathers the lambs, and in his bosom carries them. Those with young he guides along. Let us pray. God, we worship you, and we praise you for being our God. We thank you that you are a shepherd who shepherds us, that in your arm you gather us as lambs and carry us in your bosom, and you guide those with young along their path. Lord, we know that a heart that is not rejecting, rather receiving, when it is faced with sin and the things that are going wrong in a life, Lord, you come into that life and restore it. And so we pray, Father, today, if there's anyone who has been fighting against you and making excuses for their life and wanting to go it their own way, that they would see the tender mercy of you today, and that they would hear your soft voice speaking to them to return home where they need to be. Father, that they would not disobey. They would no longer prolong their disobedience, and no longer prolong the salvation and peace that is waiting for them, but it would be theirs today. And Lord, that they would follow you and love you as your child. We pray, Father, for those who have been seeking. They have a faith that is founded in the Bible. They've grown up in church, and they know that the Bible has been taught to them, and they know it. And the things that they have heard are talking about salvation. And they heard the voice and responded, but now they are wandering. We pray, Father, that you would gather them and guide them home. We pray, Father, for our church, Grace Church, that, Lord, we would feel so blessed in knowing that you are a God who answers prayer, that you are a God who keeps his promises, and you are a God who has said that Jesus Christ will return. Lord, may we, as your servants, prepare the way by repentance and calling out to the world around us the need for repentance, for the King of Kings is coming. To thy glory and praise, amen.